podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy.
There is nothing wrong with your television set.
Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. Ned, he laughed so hard it made him cry. Ned, he was a very happy guy. Ned.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favourite pair of shoes and get out there. This isn't Chris, your host. This is Steve Chopper. I'm the guest announcer this week and I'm just over at Chris's house and just made a quick excuse to go to the bathroom, but really wanted to check out his podcast studio for tips. Call it industrial espionage, if you will. But quite frankly, I'm shocked. Just to get over here to his recording desk, I had to walk over a floor full of these empty beer cans. Check this out. Oh, I thought he was clean living. Then, years worth of pizza boxes. Now, when you add the half-empty bottle of whiskey, it's just not what I expected at all. Come in, Chris. Come in. Yep. Newcastle Brown Ale, please, mate. Thank you. Okay, well, I'd better get back before he finds me down here. But when you're done listening to the Run Run Live podcast, then why not come a mile with me at www.amilewith.me.uk. You can listen to me running around the English countryside with a little bit of poetry, travel and some history thrown in for good measure. Also, if you're in the UK, why not join me for the Worldwide Festival of Races in Oxford on October the 11th. The Dream Inspires Run is free and finishes with a mile with me on the famous track as the guests of Oxford University. Check my website for details and I hope to see some of you there. So, wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in. You ready to have some fun? Come on then, let's go for a run.
All right, dog, gotta talk to you. Yeah, you're a good boy. Yeah, you're a pretty boy. You stay right there on the blanket. This is a new car, okay? This isn't the old truck. I'm sorry you can't stick your head out the back, but there's positives too. We got heat, we got air conditioning, we got good mileage, it's not overheating, and there's no rust holes. There's negatives too, which is, the dirty dog's got to, we got to find a solution for the dirty dog. If it would be possible, I know you're shedding right now and you're going to your fluffy winter coat, which is very nice to touch and everything, and I really like it, but can you do me a favor and just hold those hairs in? Okay, just hold them in. Think sticky hair thoughts. Okay? All right, can we work together on this? Because I want you to come running with me, but, you know, it's a new car. All right, good. Partners, good boy.
Every man dies. Not every man really lives.
Hello and welcome to episode 85 of the Run Run Live podcast. Look at this, we're finally up to an episode that matches exactly the Disney runner's actual age. So, how are you? Staying busy? Up here in New England, it's back to school time, and the weather is getting crisp in the mornings. The sun is starting to stay out fewer hours every day. Pretty soon the leaves will fall, and then we'll be ankle deep in slush. But right now it's good running weather. Many of us runners have been training for several weeks and are in our final push for the fall races. I've got the Ragnar Relay next weekend with the all-Twitter team from Brooks Running, and the Marine Corps Marathon on October 25th. Still figuring out what else I'm going to do, but that's so far, you know, keeping busy. But it's all good, thanks to our friend Steve Chopper, the famous Steve Chopper for that intro, and the famously supportive Gordon Scott for his rendition of the Ned song, all the way from his man shed on the isle of the small island of Tyree out off the edge of Scotland. So I've decided to make this the Braveheart-themed episode. We've got a gentleman from Brooks Running, John, today, and we're going to continue to plumb the depths of the running shoe theory. And I've got people to thank, lots of people to thank. Quadrathon for his comments, you're going to hear. And go listen to the Quadrathon podcast. He was training for a 100-mile trail out there, I think. But I think it got burned out by the fires in L.A. last week. A little bit later, you'll hear the improv talents of Kevin from the Extra Mile podcast, Jen, who does the Running From podcast, Libby, who does the 50 Counting Down podcast, a Twitter friend of mine, Boston Cardio Vet, and another Twitter friend, Solo Runner. So those are all the people I'm thanking today. Enough of my babbling. On with the show. Freedom! And if you have any comments for me, call in 206-399-7804. Bye.
You all right? You look a wee bit shaky.
Hello, this is Dr. Renner, and welcome to the Better Living Through Running Show. Our switchboards are open, so give us a call and ask your question. Hello, you've got Dr. Renner. You're live on the show. What's your question?
Yeah, Dr. Running, this is Lisa, first-time caller. Love the show.
Welcome, Lisa. What can I help you with?
Well, I've run my first marathon, and I'm looking to get faster. How do I do that?
Great question. You need to work some speed work, tempo training, and hills into your plan. That'll give you speed.
Great. Thank you so much. Love the show.
Dr. Running, you're on the show. What's your question?
I'm an overweight couch potato. Is running safe for me?
Absolutely. Check out the Couch to 5K program, and you'll be healthy, happy, and slimmer in no time. Next caller?
Hi there. I'm a 40-something guy who's been running 5Ks and 10Ks, but I feel like my life has no meaning. What should I do?
Oh, great question. I get this one a lot. You need to sign up for an ultra marathon right now and start training for it. Nothing brings focus and meaning or purpose to life more than running for 10 hours straight. Hello, how can I help?
I hope you can help me.
Yes? Yes?
My husband just left me for a younger woman. I don't know if I can go on.
Well, you've come to the right place. Without the old ball and chain to slow you down, the world is your oyster. Go to the Cool Running website, find a local running club, and join them. Start running a 5K or 10K every weekend. You won't have time to be depressed. You'll meet healthy, happy people, and maybe even get lucky. Plus, next time you see your ex, you'll be smoking hot, and they'll kick themselves for leaving you. Okay, we've got time for one more call. Hello, you're on the air.
Dr. Running? Hey, I hope you can help me. I've got a bit of a ticklish situation here. This is Craig. Yeah, Craig. And, well, I had a speed workout on the calendar for today, but I took this pill, and I've had an erection for 4 hours. What should I do?
No problem. Wear a running kilt, lubricate well, and get to the track. There's no reason to miss a workout. And, as an added bonus, you'll have a place to hang your stuff up to dry. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Keep fit, keep happy, and keep running. This is Dr. Running, signing off.
And now for the equipment check.
Hey, Chris. It's Stuart from the Quadrathon blog and podcast. Just listening to your latest about chocolate number 9. And I know you've not had it on a long run, but trust me, I've been taking it for the last couple of months. Adam Ulrey, our mutual friend, switched me onto it. And as you probably know, I'm training for this crazy 100-mile race next month, and I've been using it for a long run. And it's working great. So, start using it when you start doing those longer runs for your Ragnar, and you should see that... It really kicks into gear. Sorry, it's a little windy. I'm out I do my last long run before my race next month. I'm at the top of Castro Peak in Southern California. I'm about 2,400 feet up. Just spent the last 17 miles running over a couple of mountains. And now I've got 5 miles of downhill back to, not back to my car, but back to my pickup point. So just banging in another, 25 miler, I guess. Okay, love the show as always. Take care, and I'll see you on Twitter.
Archers.
I beg pardon, sire. Won't we hit our own troops?
Yes, but we'll hit theirs as well. We have reserves.
All right, so anyhow, so I got some stuff from Brooks Running. First, I get some shoes, the Glycerin 7s, and they're pretty good. They're breaking in. They're getting better as they break in. They're a little stiff to start, a little too much shoe, but I went with those because I wanted a little bit the more shoe rather than the less shoe just for the roads. So I don't do a lot of road running anymore. Those are working out okay. I probably got 100 miles in those. Well, maybe not 100, maybe 50, 60 miles in those already. So those should be fine for the race. Cooling down here after running the woods. We got the Infinity Notch shorts, which are kind of cool. They're real long. You know, I grew up a long time ago, so I'm used to wearing short shorts when I'm running. So these are longer shorts, and they have the full insert. So they have, like, thin bike shorts inside as a liner instead of the sort of the brief liner. They have like the bike short liner, which is kind of weird. So far, no problems with it. No chafing or anything. I think that's what it does. It prevents the, the rubbing of the thighs together kind of chafing is what that's for. We got a nice white HVAC mesh cap, which is really, that's really nice. Nice and white, too. I like that. We got a pair of gloves, which I haven't worn yet, but they seem nice, too. They got little, like, rubber finger things on them. And we got this LSD light jacket, and that was really good. I wore that Saturday, and I went out and ran in the tropical storm. I wore that as a shell, and it's made out of, like, this tent material. So that's the only way I can describe it. It kept me warm, and it actually shed water. I mean, for the most part, when you're running in the tropical storm, you can't shed all your water, but it did a real good job of as a shell, so that was good. And then we have Nightlife Tees as well, which are T-shirts that go with these, and those are fine. Those are really nice, and they like glow in the dark too, so pretty good. And then the other thing we had, which I'm looking for it on here, I don't see it, but we got a Nightlife long sleeve tee, which is real nice. It's real tight, so it seems like the long sleeve stuff comes real sort of body fitting now. So that's new for me. I'm usually wearing stuff that's not real form fitting because I don't really have a form to fit, you know. That's Buddy who wants to come in. But yeah, this is the stuff we got for the race. And the only thing I haven't worn is they gave me this Nightlife hat with it's got a flasher built into the back of it. So it actually has a flashing light built into the hat, and you wear it and it flashes, so that's kind of cool. I haven't worn it yet. That's the only thing I haven't worn yet. I've worn all the rest of it. Seems to work okay, and I'm ready for the race. And if you want any of this stuff, I'll put it on the, I'll put the list on the show notes, all right? Bye.
I didn't like him anyway. He wasn't right in the hat.
And now for our featured interview.
Hey, John Typen. How are you?
Doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me.
And John is the footwear product manager for Brooks Running. And so we got him on to talk about shoes because we can never talk enough about shoes. One out of every three questions I get is about shoes. And the reason that is because there's not really any right or wrong answer. It's specific to the individual. So it's a great topic. We can always talk more on shoes. So give us, John, give us the 100 words or less on who you are and what you do for Brooks and that sort of thing.
Oh, sounds good, Chris. So, yeah, so again, my name is John Typen, and what I am is I'm the footwear product line manager here at Brooks, and kind of how I got into this job is I was an avid runner growing up, ran competitively when I was younger, and just love running shoes, love product, and so it kind of carried me up into this job here at Brooks. And basically what I do is my job is to really understand the end consumer, really understand the market, what the trends are, what's happening out there, and work with our phenomenal design and development team here at the office here in Seattle to build a line and build line architecture that really is really relevant to the market and is tops in the industry.
And Brooks has been around for a long time. I can remember Brooks being available when I first started running back in the late 70s.
Yeah, absolutely. Brooks, we've actually been around since 1914. Back in the 1970s, we were one of the top running brands out there in the market, did some really innovative technologies that actually are still, you actually see those, some of those technologies throughout the running industry today, all brands. And, you know, we've continued to maintain that leadership role.
Yep, I can remember that. So, you know, people, like I said, people always ask you, you know, if you're an experienced runner, you know, one out of three questions is, what kind of shoes should I buy? To which there's no answer, right? Because you got to ask, you have to ask a bunch of questions of that person to even get close to recommending, to getting them in the right zone as to what shoe to buy. So, I mean, what do you say when somebody says to you, hey, you're the footwear product manager, what shoe should I buy?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the first thing I always do is I always want to try to figure a little bit about them. Like, one is, I want to know what their biomechanics are. So different people have different foot types. They have different strides. Some people are what we call neutral, meaning they have a pretty efficient gait. Their arch really doesn't, maybe they have a higher arch. Their arch doesn't really lower at all when they run. And so there's a certain type of shoe, a neutral shoe that you'd want that person in. But if someone has maybe what we call pronate, meaning their ankle rolls in a little bit, the arch drops a little bit as they move, which is actually really normal. It's a good thing for your arch to do that. It's a way your body can naturally absorb shock. But then you want to put them in more of a support type shoe. And then there's people that have flat feet that pronate a lot, and you put them in what we call a motion control shoe. So the first thing is figure out what the person's biomechanics are, what's their foot type, and how can you give them the right support underneath their foot that they need. If you put someone in the wrong shoe, you know, like there's likelihood that their body's not going to respond really well to that. When you get beyond that, it's, you can ask them, you know, what kind of injuries have you had? How much are you running? What are you training for? And you start taking some of that, and you do like a softer shoe, do like a firmer shoe, and you can start taking all that information, you compile it, and it gives you a little bit of a data trail that really helps you drive them to the shoe that they're really going to like and have a lot of fun running in, which is really, really what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and you never exact, because I've actually had shoes from the exact same kind of shoe be two different feel and ride shoes. So it goes from shoe to shoe. You really have to spend some time testing them out and find what works for you.
Absolutely.
For the scientists among us here, John, what are the parts and pieces that go into a shoe? I mean, what makes a shoe? You know, if I'm giving you $100 for a shoe, what are the for a good real running shoe, what are the components that go in there? What's the technology?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll just kind of talk to some of our proprietary technologies, but they also do, there's comparable stuff maybe across some other brands as well. But the first thing you're always going to think of is what we call the midsole of the shoe, which is the foam, which is the primary cushioning part of the shoe. And what we use is a compound called BioMogo. And so this midsole compound actually part of our green and sustainability initiative, but it's a midsole that does biodegrade within about 20 years in a landfill, so you have a little bit better life of the shoe. But what it is, it's a real nice, resilient, cushioned midsole compound that's going to absorb shock. It's going to give you some nice energy return and give you a real nice ride underneath your foot. And then within that BioMogo midsole, we also have a secondary cushioning technology, which we call HydroFlow. And what HydroFlow is for us, it's a silicone liquid in a polyurethane chamber. And what it is, it's a cushioning system that never wears out or breaks down, and gives you, and we put it in the heel of the shoe, and we also put it in the forefoot of the shoe. So you're actually going to get a little bit more cushioning in both of those areas that's going to absorb shock and disperse it horizontally. That way it reduces the shocks that are going up through your legs and into your body, and keeping you, you know, reducing those vibrations and keeping you healthier. All shoes are going to have some sort of outsole on them. Typically what we do is we use a real nice durable outsole, that black rubber on the bottom of the shoe in the heel. That way you get real good durability at that crash zone, that compact zone. And then as you move to the forefoot, we typically use what we call a blown rubber, which is a little bit softer rubber that's going to give you a real nice bouncy, soft, cushioned ride there in the forefoot. And then as you move to the upper of the shoe, the upper materials, we typically try to use a real nice air mesh that's going to be real breathable, but have a lot of integrity that's going to keep and hold your foot onto the shoe, and then design the shoe based on the shoe, on what we want the shoe to function. Put overlays and straps on the shoe that are going to hold that foot in place and lock it in, and just really give you a real nice, real nice contoured fit.
If we go into the sporting goods store and you get two pairs of shoes sit next to each other there, and one's $40 and the other one's $100, what's the difference?
Yeah, so usually the main difference, or a couple of differences, are one is the quality of the materials. So you can get a lot better the midsole compound, the cushioning compound in the shoe, the secondary cushioning technologies are going to be a lot higher quality. They're actually going to actually perform better, absorb shock better. They're going to give you a smoother ride. A lot of times some of those lower price shoes tend to be a little bit clunky. Even just the balance of the shoe, sometimes you hold them up and the way they hold, sit in your hand, they don't feel really weighted or very balanced from a weight standpoint. Mm. And so as you run them, sometimes they feel kind of slappy or clunky, and they just, you know, I guess lack of balance is a good word. And then the other thing is just the consistency of the materials. With our shoes, we have really, really tight standards. So, you know, when you grab one shoe off the wall from us and another shoe out of a different box, that density of those midsoles or just the way the shoe feels is going to be very consistent from one model to the next. Whereas with some of those cheaper shoes, you might put it on and the right shoe might be real firm and the left shoe might be real soft, or from one pair to the next, you might get a lot of variability. And then just even from a fit standpoint, design and detail and materials, the materials aren't going to be as breathable. They're probably going to be thicker and more rigid, and they're just not going to wrap your foot better. They're probably going to have the stitching inside the shoe, just the way the shoe's constructed, isn't going to be as polished. So you're probably going to get some rubbing and abrasion spots inside the shoe. And so just overall, I mean, it's just, you're not going to get, you know, basically it's more or less a shoe that you're going to want to try to, like, it's kind of, you know, kind of in the industry, we just kind of call them barbecue shoes.
Yeah.
Shoes that are nice to kick around and stand around in and maybe wash your car in, but if you're going to run in it, you only have two legs, you only have 2 feet, and you're just not, you can always get a new pair of shoes, but you can't really replace your body, and so there's just a lot of downside to trying to save a few pennies on a pair of shoes.
Yeah, exactly. So you talked about the BioMogo, and I know today everything's about green and sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big knocks on running shoes was the midsole is basically the traditional running shoe midsole will stay forever.
Right.
Like 20,000 years this stuff takes to break down. So what did you guys do with the BioMogo to relieve that problem?
Yeah, so the midsole compound, we came out with the midsole called Mogo, which is this great, you know, nice midsole. And then what we've done is we take this additive called BioBatch, and we add that when we're blending the foam together at the factory, we actually put this additive into it. And what it does is we just mix it in there, and so then you bake the shoe, you make it like normal, and then when you're using it, the life of the shoe, the midsole is going to work fine. It's going to work perfect. It's not going to – it actually performs exactly the same as Mogo does. But the end of the life, when you actually put it in a landfill and it's in an anaerobic environment, no oxygen, there are these little microbes in this BioBatch additive that start munching away on the Mogo midsole compound. And so it does break the midsole down in about 20 years instead of, I think it's about 1,000 years. Like you said, yeah, basically it's forever. It's in the landfill forever. And then what it does, it's also better end of life. So not only does it break it down, but it does give off a byproduct, a gas that can actually be recollected and then used as an alternative fuel source. So that's
you're seeding microorganisms, I'm assuming bacteria, into the midsole.
Correct.
That's so cool. Of course, I do that every time I go for a run in the woods.
That's nice.
That's pretty cool. That's
yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, I mean, in our future concepts team, those guys were fantastic. Derek Campbell was one of Nathan Viacun, or two guys that were very instrumental in that. And they, you know, those guys are so brilliant and so smart and just really, like, looking at ways to really, you know, move the brand forward, but then do things that are responsible for the environment as well. And it was a three-year project that they worked really hard on and did effortless testing on. And, yeah, it was just a really, really cool thing for us to be able to do as a brand.
Yeah, and the trigger is great because they won't start breaking down until they go anaerobic. So
exactly, yeah. And that was the biggest thing. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Is the shoe going to break down when I'm running in it? Is the shoe going to break down? What if I put it in a plastic bag in my car? and it's wet, will that break it down? And the thing is even if you have your shoe in a plastic bag, there's still a lot of oxygen in that. To actually have an anaerobic environment is, I mean, you have to be in a landfill and there's tons and tons of stuff and sealed off and everything. So the thing is there's the shoe's going to last, last forever outside the ground, but once it goes in, it does break down.
That's cool. So what else? What else are the big trends in technology and stuff in shoes and shoe tech? We could make a show called Shoe Tech.
Shoe Discovery. Tech.
Oh, I'd watch it.
Yes, Mythbusters for running shoes. So another thing, I'm kind of talking to our future concepts team. Another thing that we actually are getting ready to take to market, it's going to be in the Glycerin 8 for Spring 10. So January 1, 2010, the Glycerin 8 will come out. And we're introducing a new technology in there called Brooks DNA. And so this is actually a very revolutionary, kind of a paradigm shift as far as cushioning systems go within running shoes. So right now, if you look at cushioning systems across the board, basically shoes are built for the average person out there. So if you're the average person, the cushioning, everything, the ride's going to be perfect for you. But if maybe you're a little bit heavier, that shoe might be a little too soft. If you're a little lighter, that shoe might be a little bit too firm. It's just the nature of cushioning systems. So what Brooks DNA does, the reason we call it Brooks DNA is because it's actually everyone's DNA is different. You know, some people have red hair, some people have blonde hair, brown eyes, blue eyes. Everyone's unique and different. And so this technology, the cushioning system, actually tunes the ride to each and every individual's particular needs. So it basically adapts to forces is what it does. So if you put softer forces against it, it kind of remains softer. If you apply harder forces to it, it actually firms up and keeps it from bottoming out. So for example, if you have a really large 200-pound person running in a shoe and a 100-pound person running in the shoe, the material is going to react differently to the different forces that this person is applying to the shoe. So the bigger person will obviously compress that shoe more, apply more forces to it just by the nature of their mass. But the cushioning system will adapt and firm up and absorb shock and give energy return based off those forces, and then it'll also do the same thing for that lighter person. And so the thing is, this DNA material, it works at a molecular level. So it's actually instantaneous. It's a physical response, and it's just a really, really, really cool material. And then the other thing that, kind of along those same lines, it'll actually tune your ride to your individual needs. So if you start off just standing around in the shoe, it's going to be nice and soft. You start running slow, it'll firm up a little bit, but still be pretty soft. But as you start running faster, you're going to start being in the air a little bit longer. You're going to hit the ground a little bit harder. And so the material will actually tune the ride to your individual run as well. So as you run faster, the material changes and adapts to give you the response, the energy return and cushioning that your body needs at that given moment.
And so it's built into the molecular structure of the material as opposed to being programmed like the chips in another shoe.
Exactly. And that's actually a pretty good analogy of something out there that was similar. But instead of it being a microchip where you have to wait, five steps or whatever it is for it to adapt the cushioning, it's actually instant. So, if you were to jump off a 5-foot step on something, that first step would adapt to that higher forces, and then your next step would be a light step, and your material would be perfect for that too. But, yes, it's actually a material that's in the heel and the forefoot of our shoes. It actually does replace the HydroFlow technology that we've been using for a number of years.
The gel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and so... Yeah, and it's just something that we're super excited about. People are really the market's really receiving it really well, and everyone's really
cool.
Really anticipating it.
So it should make you go faster and have less injuries, right?
Absolutely.
The Holy Grail.
Absolutely.
So,
it's magic.
So in the time we got left here, a couple of minutes. What the big craze right now is this barefoot running stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, there's definitely a lot of viewpoints out there for barefoot running. I think there is a time and place for it. I think there are some people out there who have run barefoot or do some barefoot training as supplemental training, and they feel that it's actually helped their regular running. I don't necessarily believe that it's a catch-all or this perfect solution for the market as a whole. I think it does work for some people, but in reality, running shoes are still very relevant. I mean, I get emails every day of people sending me, just consumers saying, hey, I was injured, hurt all the time, and I got a pair of Brooks Adrenalines or Brooks Beast or whatever shoe it was, and ever since then I've been injury-free and been loving running, and I've ran my first marathon and things like that. So So what we do as a brand when we think about the runner is we say, hey, you know what? What does the body do? Is the body most natural when it's barefoot? And I think you can argue that it does, but obviously you have pavement and all kinds of things out there that, you know, you can't really be running barefoot on. And so what we do is we've done a lot of research with pressure plates and 3D analysis, 3D motion analysis, and all these high-speed cameras, and kind of looked at what does the body do? What are the pressures at your ankle, at your knee, at your hips? What are your joint forces when you're running barefoot? What does your center pressure line look like? Where are your pressure forces coming from? And how do we make a running shoe act, the body act from a joint force standpoint more similarly in shoes to what you are when you're not in shoes? And so basically it's saying it's not necessarily that everyone should be running barefoot, because I don't think that's necessarily the solution. Most people, if they tried to run barefoot, I think they would get injured. But then there is something that the way your body acts and aligns when it is barefoot, that if we can make your body perform more similarly to that while you're in a running shoe, you're going to be healthier and happier and really enjoying running. And as a brand, that's what we're really all about, just really inspiring people to run and be active, and just really it's about the experience and about them being happy and really keeping them healthy, because everyone out there runs for a different reason. Everyone runs, some people are trying to run a PR, some people are trying to make the Olympics, some people just do it for peace of mind, just as a stress relief. And no matter what you're doing it for, it's just what we're going to do is build great quality running shoes that, you know, that do keep people healthy and do work with their body as naturally as possible. And so you're not trying to change people's biomechanics with the running shoe. What you're trying to do is you're trying to work with them and have as natural of a motion as possible. So what we do is we look, you know, from the time the foot lands in that lateral crash pad area, how do we build that crash pad for each foot type so that it sets them up real nicely up to mid stance and then gives them a real nice even toe off, so that as they're running they have the least amount of pressure and forces going up and shock going up through their body. And so that's really the approach we take at that.
All right, cool. I wish I had more time to talk to you, but we've talked ourselves to the end of our rope here.
Well, wonderful, Chris. I appreciate appreciate you having me and let me talk about our brand.
Pleasure's been all mine. This is some cool science going on here. It's great.
It's very cool stuff, Chris.
Yeah, it keeps you coming to work on Monday morning, right?
It does. I wake up. I'm excited to wake up every day.
All right. Well, we'll be wearing my new Brooks shoes out to the Ragnar Relay in less than 2 weeks, my Glycerin 7s, and
great.
Be putting three back-to-back half marathons in them over a 24-hour period. We'll see if I survive.
I think you will. Good luck with that, Chris, and best good luck to your team.
All right. Thanks, John.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Steven is my name. I'm the most wanted man on my island, except I'm not on my island, of course. More's the pity.
Your island? You mean Ireland?
Yeah, it's mine.
Here's today's quick tips.
Hey, this is Chris. So I'm breathing a little heavy. I just crested a ridge. Not my normal ridge. Well, I guess it could be my normal ridge, but I'm usually biking over here. I found a new trail. It never ceases to amaze me that I can find new trails. This is the same, basically the same loop I've been running for the last 6 years. And I came out of the woods today with Buddy. I looked across the street and there's a tree with the word trail on it. I go, huh, never been over there. And it's this time of year, because usually our foliage is so dense that you can't see the trails unless you know they're there up in New England. But this time of year it's dried out and the trail's real evident, as it were. In a couple months the leaves fall and then you can't see the trails anymore. You gotta sort of know where they are. But this one connected. Remember a little ways back I said I'd been out mountain biking and found a great set of new trails behind the orchards next to my house that I never knew existed. Well, this particular trail I found this morning was an extension that essentially connected me over to the orchard trails. That's right across the street from where I pop out of the woods. So there you go. Try new trails. Go exploring. I got a client meeting this morning, so I got to sort of get my button gear. But, always good to go on an adventure like that. I was tired this morning. I didn't run yesterday. I did five or six, I guess five on Sunday, and then I ran 19 or so on Saturday in the rainstorm kind of took a lot out of me. I don't think I'm going to run the Wabtec Trail this weekend. I think that'll be a stupid thing to do. And I guess this would be a tip for you, which is typically when you start your training program, you get to, you know, a lot of you folks are in the middle of your training, so you're starting, you're past the initial part, you're starting to feel good. Typically you start feeling good and you go, wow, I feel great, I'm going to go do X, right? I'm going to go do, you know, a 3-mile hill sprint, or a, you know, I'm going to take on this 20-mile race or something that isn't in your training plan. Yeah, that's typically a mistake. I've seen, especially if you're new to running, it's typically a mistake. Yeah, so here I am. I'm on top of a ridge in the woods in Massachusetts, and it's all big chunks of rock and stone walls and oak trees and pine trees and stuff like that. Pretty nice. Running this trail alongside this stone wall. Usually bike up here. I think this will end up being 4 or 5 miles. Probably just about right for this morning. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. About 6, I guess. I got up at 5. It's 6 now. Out with Buddy. Hey, Bud. How are you doing? He was wiped out after running on Saturday, boy. He ate, drank, and slept for like 6 hours after that. Poor guy. So I got to keep an eye on him because he's starting to get old, and now he's 6. 6-ish. So keep an eye on him. Yeah, so, you know, just if you feel like doing something that's outside of your training, some challenge like that, really think twice about it, because you're just going to end up getting hurt, and you're, you know, you're supposed to feel good, but, you know, you want to save that energy for your event and not waste it doing something silly. I've seen so many people, typically new runners, just waste their target event on some crazy thing, you know, 6 weeks into their program because they're feeling great. They say, oh, I feel great, I'm going to sprint up this hill. Bing, there goes your hamstring, right? Because a lot of times what will happen is your muscles will get in shape first before your tendons and your other stuff. It takes longer to toughen up. So when you go out like that, your muscles feel great. You go out and put that extra stress on, you pop something. So just don't do it, man. Stick to your plan. Listen to your coach. Listen to the Sasquatch and the Mango. You see our press release this week on the Brooks Running Twitter team for Ragnar? So I'm not going to run Wabtec this weekend because I think that's too much. That's too much of a race 6 days before a 200-mile ultra. So I'm going to stay off that. I'll do 12 instead. All right. Hey, good morning. Yeah, the sun's coming up. It's starting to get dark now. Love New England. Love New England. Sun's coming up late now. Pretty soon we'll switch the clocks back and the sun won't come up, or the sun will come up at 6 and set at like 4 in the afternoon. And it's already cold out. It's like, it was like 45 when I left the house this morning, which is great. It's awesome running. There's no bugs. And the leaves haven't fallen yet, so I don't have to worry about that. There's no snow. It's a beautiful day. Nice and dry. Come on, Boo. Let's go.
Are you ready for a walk?
Okay, folks, episode 85 in the can. Thanks for listening again this week. Buddy and I love to spend time with you all. I'm going up to the Wabtec Trail race this weekend, but I'm not going to run. I'm just going to volunteer, maybe do a couple hours, short, easy run, then relax and taper till next Friday when I mount up with the Twitter team for the Ragnar Relay with all our Brooks running stuff. I also discovered they're going to have a 5K in my town in like 3 weeks. There's only 50 people signed up, so I could podium, so I'm going to try that. I already have next week's interview in the can, and I'm going to try and get it out early because I'll be running on Friday, and it'll be a cool thing about relays. And we are going to be attempting to keep our social networking going through the race, so stay tuned for that. For today's music, in keeping with our Celtic theme, we have a Celtic song called For Me Another by Doug Fulkins. I've got some Scottish and some Irish in me, just like Muhammad Ali, as it turns out. Seems like all the songs are about drinking and sorrow, but don't let sorrow into your cozy little life. Go out there, get things done, take risks, have fun while you're at it, and look around, because I'll see you out there too. Ciao.
Pour me another sleeve of stout, my insides twist about, I am drinking away my 2 weeks of pain. Chasing chokers on the hill, through the rain and the mud, the slash and the blood, till I finally logged my fill. For me,
about. Why I'm drinking away my 2 weeks of pay. Spend it all to black out.
Hey!
Once I had me a young wife, but we had no child. Soon I broke her heart, nor she did her part. Left me drunk and stoned and wild. Pour me another sleeve of stout. My insides twist about. I am drinking away my 2 weeks of pain. Catch me one last ride through the corners of hell. I bid you farewell. Pour me another for the ride.
Hey!
Pour me another sleeve of stout. My insides twist about. I am drinking away my 2 weeks of pain. Spend it all to blackout. Pour me another sleeve of stout. My insides twist about. I am drinking away my 2 weeks of pain. Spend it all.
Thanks for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.